Tiernan, you are 17 years old. You spent a year in solitude in the forest of Taliafer, hunting and surviving from the land. But now, as you're out hunting for your daily meal, you see a trail of blood on the ground and what appear to be human footprints. What do you do?
I'm going to examine the footprints further to see how many and the general, like if they're warriors or if they're just regular people.
All right. Go ahead and give me a survival.
Okay.
There's going to be dice rolling in this flashback.
I know, dice rolling. 21.
All right. As you make your way, you do notice that these tracks do appear to be humanoid footprints. The boots that they're wearing are various sizes, and they do not appear to be of elven make.
Okay.
And it appears to be an adult and three children of various ages, from like 4 or 5 to close to your age.
There's blood. I will see if I can follow the trail.
You do. You follow the trail for some time, and as you follow that trail, eventually you will see in the air the smoke of a fire. And the footprints and blood trail do seem to be going in the direction of the fire. The blood trail is not so much as... You're pretty sure no one has lost so much blood that they're on the verge of death, but this is just enough blood to be concerned that someone has a pretty bad wound. And as you approach that area, you hear the sound of a very young child crying, and occasionally the voice is somewhat stifled, but then it starts up again. And as you approach, you will see around a fire a man, a young woman not much older than you, and two smaller children.
I'm going to get close enough to be able to watch and hear them and just sort of stake out for a while to see exactly what's happening, if I can tell more about
it. Sure. As you look at them, give me an insight roll.
That's a 10.
Okay. You haven't observed a lot of humans in the wild, but you can tell at the very least that these people are in a bad way. It seems like they're in over their heads. They all pretty much appear to be wounded to some degree.
Okay.
The older girl definitely seems to be the most wounded. The adult man has somewhat bandaged up some wounds that look pretty nasty. Mm-hmm. The smaller children have cuts and scrapes, but the little small one is in pain, obviously. You can't really tell what they're saying at first, but it does seem that the man and the young woman are kind of arguing. We have to stay here for the night. There's no way we can make it back. We don't know what kind of things are out here. Being out here at night is very dangerous. We should leave. What do you do? What do you do?
I will watch them for an hour or so and vacillate in my head about, I want to help them, but I don't want to reveal myself. And I think about it and think about it, and finally I will use my abilities to take on a human guise. I will make myself look like someone who has grown up in the woods, sort of a darkish skin tone, long black hair. And I will come out of the bushes, you know, sort of with my hands up. Hello?
The man gets up. He pulls up a bow and then goes to pull an arrow out of a quiver, and then you notice that there are no arrows. The young lady pulls out a small knife, but they look very freaked out and scared.
I mean, you know,
who goes there?
I'm a woodsman. I heard you. Sounds like you need assistance.
It's okay, Kale. I think we can trust him.
Can I help you?
Yes, yes. Please, my husband and I, we were out hunting, and we were chased by something, some kind of creatures.
You look wounded. I have ointments and things, natural remedies.
And then the man steps forward and says, well, show me what you have.
I'll take out my bag and lay out my herbs. I promise they won't hurt you. I'll rub a little on myself just to show them that they're not poisonous.
And then you realize you're looking at this man. Man is probably a little bit of a stretch. He doesn't look really ultimately much older than this teenage girl. He's just a kind of big guy.
Got it.
You can tell that the children are theirs.
Yes.
And that this is a young couple that is out in the woods. Their clothing is not even proper for this kind of area.
Yeah.
Relax, Kale. He's not here to poison us. I am Ivy. This is my husband, Kale.
Ivy, yeah.
And these are our children, Ruby and Milo. And Milo is a boy about maybe five. And then Ruby is a little girl that's about maybe three.
Okay. We are you hungry?
Yes, if you can spare anything. My children are scared and hungry.
Of course. Share my food and berries and whatever with them.
The gentleman looks really embarrassed. We're not hunters, as you can see. We're farmers. But since the last year and all the unpleasantness up in the glass woods,
yes,
our harvests have not been kind. The elves, they needed food to supply to their troops. They said if we needed something, we would be allowed to hunt in their woods. But we're not hunters, and they did not offer to help us. They're not bad, they're just different. They mean well. We have a small farm on the outskirts of Breadbasket. We have been there for a few years and raise our family, but it's been hard. But, and I'm sorry, I'm so rude. What's your name?
Kiernan. You can call me Kiernan.
And at that point you realize, oh shit, I just gave them my real name.
Yep.
Well, and these berries are nice, but if you get back home, perhaps we can fix you a proper meal.
Oh, that's not necessary. I'm happy to assist you back to your home, but I don't need any kind of compensation.
Please, this gentleman does not need our help. We need his. But if you go about 10 miles due south, and then once you get to the edge of the forest, go about another mile or so southeast, you'll see our farmstead. It's right on the edge of Breadbasket. You're welcome there anytime, Kiernan. Anything you need.
Thank you. I can watch over you for the night, and perhaps as soon as the sun breaks, I can walk you back to the edge of the forest, if you wish.
That would be wonderful. So you spend the night with these people and keep them safe all the while. How do you feel about this situation?
I'm panicking a little bit inside. Yes, this is the first time that I've really revealed myself to anyone since I left. So, it's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety. But I'm also glad that I did it.
You notice that they have no problem. Like, they don't seem to find anything wrong with you. You seem to be blending in just fine. They describe creatures in the woods that they call greenskins. And there's a number of things they could be. It has been said that some of the Yorks from down south have been ranging and popping up in places you wouldn't normally find them.
Right.
Talk of some feral goblins. There's even occasionally talk of kobolds, though they're rarely seen outside of their swamp. But in time, you do find that some of these greenskins have made their way into the forest. Do you go back at some point and take them up on their hospitality?
I do. I probably wait about a month, a few weeks at least, to vacillate and torture myself over it. But eventually I will go visit them. And I'll bring them a deer that I hunted or something.
You wind up spending some time with them. And this is the point in your history where you realize that you might be able to pull off this human disguise.
Yes. So. And that I maybe even want to.
And then you wake and you're back in this strange city you found yourself in. You find yourself facing an uncertain time, but you now know what it's like to have friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 21.
We're adults now.
Yes, our podcast is old enough to vote and old enough to drink alcohol legally. MJ, thank you for being here today. We have come to our last, but not least, solo adventure of our heroes. So Kiernan Marmo's mysterious hero. We've learned a little bit about him as we have gone on, but much of his past is shaded in mystery. So I would like to ask you, though, MJ, as the player and creator of this character, what do you feel about Kiernan's journey so far as a person from episode one to now? How has he, in your mind, changed or grown? Or has he? Or is he maybe devolved in some way? Or is he turning into a snail? Who knows?
I like that. I may use that.
Okay.
I certainly think although Kiernan is still rather quiet and guarded, as we can see, I do think that he has opened up a bit and clearly has to trust his companions, which is something new for him, and has done that, however, somewhat reluctantly in the beginning. I think it does trust particularly Zika right now and is learning to trust Razor as well. So I think that's definitely a step in a positive direction for Kiernan.
Yeah, you can definitely sense that these your two associates are good people and they want to do, you know, the right thing and help people.
Exactly. So
you are, of course, also created the Changelings and Lorianne the Beautiful Hag, which I love that she was first described as a beautiful hag who created this race of changing people. And we've delved a little bit more into the history of that. I think more stuff's going to come out. And you have given me a fair amount of license to monkey with the legend, which I hope I'm doing justice to in some level.
Of course, yeah.
But there are other beings and things and places in this world that you created. Yeah. And obviously you're aware of everything everybody else created. When we sat at my kitchen table with a giant hex map and cranked out this crazy continent. And my plan is the next time we do that, that's a process that I can record somehow. So as we move into the greater world, what things would you as a player and or a creator like to see?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Drow. I don't know if people on this podcast know that yet, but I'm a huge fan of Drow. And I was originally going to play a Drow, but I have a lot of Drow characters and I figured I'd try something different. I'm really into changelings too, but I would love to see the Drow make more of an appearance for sure.
Yes, I think it's unavoidable at this point. And I have been very, very stingy with the Drow at this point, given a certain amount of underground nature of things going on. And also, given the fact that the first Drow introduced in the story very well likely is not actually a Drow.
Yes.
Which I also felt bad about. But, you know, I did make the Watcher a Drow, which is a fairly recent development. Some of these counselors I knew from day one, and some of them I put together very close to the time that people were voicing them. And given very, very scant direction to play with. But once again, as we have been doing with some of these solo episodes, there might be a surprise guest who appears in the mix. But we will see. First, we're going to cut away for a brief interlude a little bit down the street. Dorathius, you have been summoned once again by Lady Anna. But unlike previous times, she's not having you meet her at her home, but in a dingy room in a Shadyside boarding house. As you enter, you see a simple bed, a small table, and a chair. After about 5 minutes, the door opens and a figure steps in. At first, you don't recognize her, but you study the face and recognize the lively blue eyes of Annabelle Royce. But you notice that her skin is much paler and she has short, mousy brown hair. She wears no jewelry and is dressed in a simple homespun tunic. I'm sorry we had to meet like this. I do not feel our usual meeting place is safe. Please, sit.
I will sit. I will look around the room with an expression that says, and this is safe. Excellent. But I will keep that to myself.
Yes, I know. It's come to this. Dorathius, I'm going to tell you some things that I shouldn't tell anyone. But I need you to understand that you are the only person that I trust with this information. So, before we continue, I just want to make sure that this is understood clearly between us.
Certainly, my lady. Trust me in all things.
She knows you're not alone, right? You're never alone.
It's just us here. Yes. And I'll look around at, like, what I assume are relatively thin walls and be like, as far as we know.
You know that myself and my associates, Harmon Cray and Taryn Karavax, serve as the three faces of the consortium. This is something that not a lot of people know, but you're far enough down the rabbit hole of the Shadow Consortium to know the identities of her two cloaked friends in previous episodes. And they are basically the triumvirate of power within the Shadow Consortium. Anna is known as the face of peace. Taryn Karavax, aka Vax, is known as the face of war, and Harmon Cray is known as the face of treachery. Beyond that, there's rumors of dealings with the Shadow Plane and strange entities that they have pacts with. But, you know, that's a lot of talk.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. I'm not worried about it.
In our time together, I've come to trust them as family. But in the past few weeks, I believe our little family has changed. You see, it has always been my project, legitimizing the consortium in the eyes of the Council of Elders. Kray and Vax were always dubious. They cling to the old ways and fear change. But in this world, those who fear change are doomed to be left behind. It was I, of course, that persuaded Bren Hallowood to vote for our inclusion in the council. The other council members, I had a good feeling where their hearts were. However, I did feel that certain aspects of the Watcher's purview might seem redundant if the Shadow Consortium was given a seat. So I turned to my siblings for advice. Vax and Kray offered to remove the Watcher so that the Shadow Consortium might be able to absorb their spot in the council. I knew that this meant that they would assassinate them, but I got them to agree to an alternate method of removal, and they acquiesced to this offer. I felt starting our legitimacy with a high-level political assassination would be a little bit much. I mean, a little blackmail between friends is, well, that's just the cost of doing business.
Quite civilized, yes.
When I first approached the council, Kray and Vax assured me that the Watcher had left the city and was not going to return. I did not ask them what they had done with them. I suppose I wanted my ignorance to shield me from any inconvenient truths. However, yesterday, when I told them that the Watcher had returned and had made the emergency council meeting, Vax and Kray insisted that this could not be, and that somehow the Watcher had been replaced. It became clear to me that this assassination had occurred against my wishes.
Now, of course, them not following your wishes is a problem, but I think the fact that there's a substitute Watcher might be a larger issue, and forgive me if I'm overstepping my observation here. I understand that you're upset with your siblings, as I put it.
Of course, but we will get to that. You see, the big problem that we have with this assassination is that no one was counting on this probationary membership. And even if this duplicate was exposed or revealed the truth to the council, then we would be finished. And all of our hard work would be undone. I was up most of the night trying to figure out what happened. I went over events of the meeting again and again in my mind, and then I remembered something peculiar, something that had almost escaped my notice. When the Watcher sat down at the council table, for the briefest of moments, they cast a glance into the audience. At first, I thought they were looking at me, but I quickly realized that the Watcher was looking at someone else. He was looking at Kiernan Locke. There was a definite sense of recognition in that glance. How could this be? Locke had arrived in the city well after the Watcher had been dealt with. There's no way they could know each other. And I think I might have put this puzzle together, and Mr. Locke may be the key. See what I did there? I'm clever.
Quite.
A couple of days ago, when we met with that dwarf cleric and his two friends, I took the opportunity to peek into the mind of young Kiernan. While there, I mentioned the disappearance of our mutual friend, Dervin Fane. Locke had this very strange series of thoughts, and I glimpsed what appeared to be a memory of Dervin. And in this memory, I watched Dervin Fane transform into a woman I've never seen before. And then she named herself Tahar Balam. And then his thoughts shifted back to the present moment. And watching someone's memories is like watching dreams sometimes. The visions aren't precisely what happened. But either way, I had a name to follow up on, so I sent agents into the city to inquire about this Tahar Balam. And within a day, all of those agents were found butchered in very public places. Putting that together with our doppelganger Watcher, I fear I know what we may be dealing with. What do you know of changelings, Dorathius?
Can we go back to butchered? Everyone was butchered?
Yes. All they had was her name and a vague description.
Oh, goody. All right. Well, I can see where this is going. I don't know anything about changelings, but I presume that they butcher people?
There are some that believe that a race of changelings have been loosed into the world some time ago and occasionally take the form of people to do nefarious dealings. Now, there's no, to my knowledge, evidence that these changelings really exist, but enough to be a legend. I have been suspicious of this boy in particular ever since I met these three. suspicious enough for me to go rifling around in his mind during a interrogation with a priest casting an enchantment over all of us. So it was risky, but I guess, well, in light of recent events, I would like you to find our friend Kiernan and see what he's up to today and help him with whatever he needs and seek out the truth of this.
Well, I am everyone's bestest friend, so I will of course do this. I will attempt to not show my visible relief at not having to go hunt down the butcher, and that I'm going to go talk to the other one who seems, you know, relatively nice. So I'll be excited about that, but I'll try to school my face so it doesn't show.
Needless to say, war is coming to the city in probably a day or two. And
I had heard that, yes.
And your countrymen might not be the same lovely people you remember.
I don't know how to react to that. They are not lovely people, and I can't imagine them being worse, but, well, life has a way of surprising one.
Cool. I do believe you will be quite surprised, but in the meantime, pursue this where you may. Be careful. Just make sure that you have his trust. You're very good at getting that.
Well, of course, they have no reason not to trust a member of the Shadow Consortium who's just showing up, but we make do with what we have, and I think I could be useful.
Yes, well, we have what we can work with. And like I said, I don't feel like I can trust anyone else right now. So thank you for this. And you should probably go first.
Of course. Well, it was lovely meeting in such a lovely place. And I will bow with tremendous flourish that outshines the surroundings. And I will make my way out. And somewhere while I'm making my way out, I will think real hard at my other master who's living somewhere inside of my head, or at least leasing some space there, and go, so changeling's a thing? What do I need to know? I would prefer not to be butchered anytime soon.
The Hag of Martell is very mysterious. Her children, if they are real, could very well topple this entire little world if silly people have built. Well, I too want to know as much as I can. If you can see one up close, give me some of its blood.
I mean, you were listening, right, about the book. And I'll hum a nursery rhyme in my head the whole time, and some stray thought of mine will be like, I have the worst bosses. Just the worst.
Kiernan, it is very early in the morning, the day after the council meeting. You've all, I believe, been staying at the Talking Bell. Would you have stayed there that night as well?
I probably would have.
Okay. So, very early in the morning, you haven't seen Zika or Razor yet. You know that Zika was going to go to Bale Malshar to talk to the Isog, and sense that Razor would likely have temple business to deal with, that whole preparing for war thing. So you are kind of left to your own devices. What's running through old Kiernan's head right now?
Well, I'm definitely thinking about what happened with the Watcher, and assuming that it's probably Tahar, and I need to figure out what is happening there. In terms of war, I mean, I'll do what I have to. I'm waiting for Razor and Zika to sort of give me direction on that front, because I don't really have any other allies here.
Okay. Well, what you know about the Watcher, you don't know much other than the fact that the Watcher is the spymaster of Malshar. They watch the city while it sleeps, watch the city when it doesn't know people are watching it. The Watcher is rumored to have agents all over the city that give them information, and they present that to the council. And for about a month or so, the Watcher has been MIA. It's not necessarily unheard of for the Watcher to go dark for certain amounts of times. But considering what's going on, it's definitely strange that the Watcher has basically vanished when the city could have used all of their information. So the Watcher, like all the council, have an office in the council district, which was the 9 buildings that surround the council chambers building. Mm-hmm. And the Watcher has a building just like all the other council members. Other than that, you have no idea where you find the Watcher.
Okay.
You know, it's tricky to get into the council district without an invitation. Given your recent status, it's not impossible.
Okay.
Cub is, of course, there with you, and he has kind of sensed your anxiety, and he's been kind of clinging to you a little bit in his way.
I'll share my breakfast with him.
Alrighty. So, what's your immediate plan at this point? What do you want to do?
I will see. If I were to get an invitation, do I know who I would have to approach in order to do that?
Yeah, that's a thing. An invitation would have to come from someone on the council, but perhaps, given Razor's good relation with the Temple Master, you do know that she was the one that kicked this whole thing off.
Mm.
It is possible that if you were to inquire about her, she might let you come in and at least talk to her. Or you could
impersonate someone.
That is something you could do. You could also go to the council gates and ask to see the Watcher and see if they send you in to talk to them. Or you could see if there's a way to sneak in to the council district unawares.
Right.
Which, you know, you've been in that area a couple of times. They haven't had a chance to really scope it out. But either way, it might be safe to say that you're going to try to head uptown at the very least.
Yes.
Is that a safe assessment? Okay.
Yeah.
So you and Cub will have your breakfast. And once you're ready, you will start getting on your way to Council Heights. So I'm going to take it to the map.
Ooh, a map.
So the Talking Bell is down here in Shadyside, which is pretty far south in the city. Mm-hmm. And the council district is basically due northeast of you. So the way you have previously gone, and the couple of times you've gone uptown, is through the Middle Gate Bridge. There are 5 bridges, and there's the one in the middle is named appropriately the Middle Bridge. It goes through the marketplace and then up into Council Heights, which is the neighborhood outside of the council, which is flanked by the university district. And those two very, very nice places lead to a giant gatehouse and wall. And behind that is the council district with a bunch of buildings that you have seen. So as you are making your way out of Shadyside, you will see someone. Scott, this is the point where Dorathius will be approaching the Talking Bell, and you will see coming out of the building a young man and a small dog.
Excellent. Well, I will be carrying, of course, a gift of a fine bottle of liquor that they can put in a prominent place and never serve to anyone, but they can put it on a very high shelf and say, see, look, this is a reputable establishment. We have a very expensive kind of liquor that you guys can't afford here because, you know, friends bearing gifts are friends indeed. So I'll be walking along. Do I recognize this person with a dog? Because if I don't, I'm going to walk right by him.
A good question, Kiernan. Would he recognize you?
I look like me right now, so I guess that's up to Dorathius.
I mean, there's no reason I wouldn't recognize Kiernan, but, you know, just in case there's some makeup or something going on.
Yes. You never know.
Yeah.
Little eyeliner, maybe.
Yeah. You know, maybe Kiernan's going through a goth phase, and I wouldn't recognize him. I don't know.
Rugged goth.
So I'll walk up and just be like, go into the tavern, see my boon friends, and then I will look up and go, ah, Kiernan, I was just coming to see you and the others. And I will brandish the expensive liquor that I have. And I was like, a gift for your enterprise, considering our previous good fortune with our efforts.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
It is, isn't it? Oh, what's your dog's name?
Cub.
Huh? Does he do any tricks?
No, not yet.
Well, you know, there's time. I'm sorry, did I catch you going somewhere?
We were just going to the market.
Huh. Well, let's go to the market. Do you want to put this down somewhere, or shall I carry it?
I can bring it back.
All right.
You're probably not too far from the bar, so you can bring it back.
Hesitantly take it, bring it back.
Okay. You're able to throw it behind the bar. Ulysses has not gone down to start organizing things yet. So you make your way out, and Dorathius and Kiernan will start to make their way towards the marketplace. So.
You're headed to the market too then?
Yes. Well, I was headed down here, and then I don't have anything for the rest of the day. Give us a chance to catch up. We can talk about the old times, that time in the tavern where we were under a zone of truth spell. You know, just, you know, how friends usually meet. Anyway. His visible distaste of having to walk around Shadyside and presumably Crampton and all the other horrible places that we have to walk through is sort of visible. You know, it's doing a pretty good job of hiding it, not just completely breathing through a perfumed rag the entire time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can cut through the Temple District or go through Crampton. I think, you know, usually Crampton's the most direct route. But, you know, either way, you're either going to pass through religious people or poor people.
I have to Crampton, personally.
Yeah, honestly, I got to say, smells aside, I still prefer that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what you're dealing with when you go through Crampton. When you go to the Temple District, who knows? You got all these different weird religions.
More or less, I just don't trust religious people to not be weirdly insightful, so I don't want to talk to any of them.
Yeah, okay. That is fair. Alrighty. Yeah, so you make your way up through Crampton, and it is noticeably tense in the morning here. And it's also, once again, you've been summoned early in the morning, which is not your best time.
I will be particularly on the lookout for extremely large half-orcs.
Yes.
Not today.
People seem to be whispering and extra leery. So when they see this young man and this wolf pup and this fancy boy walking down the street, they will give you a little bit of the what we like to call the hairy eyeball, and then mostly just scoot into their homes and hovels and shitty little houses and buildings. When you get to the middle of Crampton, there's a giant blue traveler's inn called the Fork in the Road. As you'll recognize, it's a place that you went just a couple nights ago, weirdly enough. Mm-hmm. Seems like months, but just a couple nights ago. And the proprietor, Elzik Shalimar, is out on the front porch of the inn, just being huge and friendly. Ah, hello! Good to see you are still palling around with each other.
Hi there.
Boon companions!
Yes! Friendship amongst the classes, that's what we like to see here in Crampton. Well, goodbye. I'm not important to the story, so I'm going to go back into my home.
Good to see you.
But yeah, friendly, big, and does not appear to be all that concerned about a coming apocalypse.
Yeah.
Maybe he knows something you don't, or maybe he's just real dumb. Who knows?
Well, somebody's excited about the war. Everybody else seems a little disturbed by it.
That's the general consensus, yes.
Just think, a few days ago we had just met and we weren't going to be invaded by a legion. And my, how times have changed. Everything's just worked out great, hasn't it?
I think you're being facetious.
Well, I'm laying it on pretty thick, so good. So, anything exciting at the market you're looking for in particular?
Just some vegetables. I'm going to make dinner tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting. I don't have any ends with vegetable dealers, so you're on your own there.
Think I can handle it. What about you?
Well, as I said, I just came to see you. I have nothing for the rest of the day. I've already put my affairs in order for the coming sacking and burning and pillaging and all of that. So just have the day free to contemplate mortality.
And you decided you want to do that with me?
I don't know any of these other people. Well, except cheerful innkeep there, but I gotta tell you, that gets old after a while. People who are that friendly, you can't trust them.
Don't you have any other friends or family?
Oh, no. My family is very far away, and that is a mutually beneficial arrangement. And I don't know if you're aware who I work for, but they're not the friendly type. And lately, my interactions with them has been them trying to injure me or the people I'm with. So it hasn't gone, shall we say, swimmingly.
Why do you work for them then?
Well, I got pulled out of the harbor and there's a certain debt to be paid. And, you know, being an outsider, as I'm sure you understand, it's kind of hard to get regular work. Not all of us inherit a tavern. I mean, it's presumably not, you do other things, but
yes,
not my business.
Not really my tavern. It really belongs to Razor. So.
Oh, a dwarf tavern. You've got something there. Oh, he's got something there.
Maybe you could work for him. You should talk to him. Maybe right now.
Is he around?
Probably.
I would assume he'd be at the temple this early in the morning.
Yes, why don't you go see him?
Walking then? Somewhere very, 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 very far. I don't get up to the temple as much as you might think. I know I seem a very pious individual, and certainly dwarven culture is fascinating. I love how they name things, right to the point. But, you know, I just thought, you know, I don't know you. I got to spend a lot of time with Auburn. We got along famously, don't get me wrong. And he was a very good sport about me accidentally targeting him with a spell. So I think Auburn and I get along quite well. Although I've got some questions about why he's called Razor. It seems a little incongruous, but that's not for you to tell me. I will ask him. But I don't know you, and I didn't see Zika about. So I thought, well, conveniently, you're going to the market, and I know lots of people in the market, so maybe I'll be able to help you with some bargains. But if you're just buying vegetables, I guess it's just going to be my pleasant conversation that'll keep us going. Wow, Crampton is huge. I forget how long it takes to walk through here.
At the point that you're mentioning the market, you actually cross through Crampton into the lower market. You know, Kiernan, that you would need to traverse the middle bridge, which person in your station is likely to be stopped by guards and asked your business. As has happened before, you do remember that your friend Dervin Thane seemed to have a way of getting across, but you know how all that went.
Yeah.
So you know that there are probably some way to cross this without having to jump the giant cliff and swim across the river and then climb back up the cliff to the other side, or go through the sewer tunnels, which empty out into the river, and then climb up into another sewer tunnel. And
I will be pointing out things of interest, like don't buy any talismans from that fellow. They're all fake. This is where a half-orc tried to beat up Fodrum, and I cleverly thwarted them by putting him to sleep in the middle of the combat. And it'll be a very heroic tale of how clever I am. So let's see. The halflings tend to have the best vegetables, although they're a little pricier. Let's see. Just look eye level, and then when you don't see anything, that's the halflings.
I roll my eyes and move toward their stalls. How busy is it today in the market?
It's fairly busy. It's busy in a different kind of sense than it usually is. Usually there's travelers, and they're looking at all kinds of exotic merchandise from the Sapphire Isles, or from the Dragonlands, or from those crazy, weird people up in the Northeast that sacrifice people for their crops that we've never actually referred to before that exist in this world, but I really got to somehow find a work in here yet. I don't think we've mentioned them yet, the Ra'aka. But today, it's more like the stocking up for the apocalypse kind of shopping. So stalls that have perishables and food stocks are starting to run out of stuff. But anyway, yeah, so it's that kind of shopping. So vital supplies are becoming scarce, and the people selling bizarre trinkets and strange goods from the far corners of the world are a little bit out of luck today.
Gotcha.
So weirdly enough, a lot of these items that maybe mere days ago were just beautiful objets d'art are now talismans of protection and things that will keep evil spirits away, or make your grandmother invisible, or, you know, other things that may help you during the apocalypse. Well, most people are pretty keen to this kind of crap.
I will be briefly interested in the talisman that makes your grandmother invisible. And then I'll realize that if they're selling that, they're not in the lower market. No, move on.
Is this what the lady had in mind? We're going to shop with a merchant and his dog all day? Is this getting us closer to anything? Much asking about changelings. Or maybe try and get some of his blood or the dog's. Or you know what? I'll let you do your thing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Out loud, Dorothy's mumbling, when I want your input, I will request it. Notice how I never request it. Oh, this one's got some carrots left.
Right?
Very, very unsavory turnips. I'm not sure. Let's move on.
Okay. Potatoes. I need to get potatoes.
So you dick around in the market for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Whiling away the time. Kiernan, you're starting to realize, you're probably starting to realize that the day is going to start getting away from you, and this man is not going to leave you alone.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm saying hello to people like I know them, and a lot of them I don't know. Oh, hello, good to see you again. Calling them by the wrong names, just, I never spend any time in the lower market if I can avoid it, but you know.
While he's distracted doing something like that, might I try to shake him?
You certainly can try. Why don't you go ahead and roll me a stealth roll? And Dots, you can go ahead and roll me that perception as Kiernan tries to slip away.
23.
Okay. Kiernan, what'd you get on that stealth?
A 10.
Okay. Yeah, so you notice as Kiernan clumsily tries to duck beneath a stall when he thinks you aren't looking and start taking off towards, I'm assuming you're going like towards the bridge area?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what he does. Kiernan, you're pretty sure you left him in the bus.
Okay.
I will shadow Kiernan.
Okay.
And try to figure out where Kiernan's going. And I will mention to some random person who's either looking at someone and like, and that's friendship for you. And just keep walking.
Are you hassling that boy? Leave that boy alone! All right, Kiernan, so what are you doing now that you've given Dorathius a slip?
I am going to head to the place that I was originally going to go.
Okay, so you get through the Middlegate Bridge, and...
Oh, I'm going to go through the sewers, I think.
All right, so you're going to need to look around to find a sewer entrance.
Okay.
You know you're looking for probably a dumping site in this part of town.
Okay.
You're like, in nicer places, there are places that have privies that will like dump stuff directly into the sewer. Here, you're probably looking for a dumping area. Give me a perception. They got rules in this game.
Not doing well today. 11.
Okay. So, Dorathius, you see Kiernan make towards the bridge, and then you kind of see that he clocks the guards there, and then he turns around and starts looking around at the ground. Not really sure what he's looking for, but he is looking for something.
All right, well, I will hang back and watch him look on the ground for stuff. Okay. And I figure I probably am starting to get the idea that Kiernan wants to go across the bridge, but let's give Kiernan a break. Kiernan's clearly not in the mood to talk, so I'll give Kiernan some space for a little while.
All righty. So yeah, Kiernan, you're looking around and the lower market is kind of like semi-organized chaos. There are stalls that are just kind of willy-nilly everywhere. So you can try and follow it, however, by smell, if you would like. You can even have Cub help you, yeah.
Yeah, Cub's better at it than I am, so I'll come down and scratch Cub's chin and say, yeah. Cub, can you help me?
Cub, find poop.
Exactly. Cub can do it.
Okay, so you give Cub a command and go ahead and roll his perception.
He's much better than me at this, wow. So I rolled a natural 20, he got a 33.
Alrighty, so Cub figures out what you're looking for. Cub figures out what you're looking for, and he starts padding off to your right, and he ducks between some stalls, and then waits for you, and then turns around and looks back and gives you that, come on, come on! And eventually, Dorathius, you see the dog lead Kiernan to a sewage dump. That is literally a horrible hole in the ground.
At this point, honor demands I intervene. And I will pull out another scented handkerchief and hand it over to Kiernan, assuming that Kiernan's fixated on this thing, and be like, yeah, if you're going to go in there, you're going to want this.
What?
But this is a dumb way to do this. I'm assuming you want to get across the bridge? Come on. We're friends. I'll show you the secret way.
All right. Thank you.
And sure enough, Dorathius will lead you to this spot you didn't even notice. There's a bunch of trees that are near the base of the bridge on the western side. And then once you get beyond those trees, you will see that it's this kind of gradual slope that you could not possibly see from that spot. And eventually it leads down into a landing that goes down under the bridge. And then you climb up into the bridge structure itself. It's something to be very hard to notice unless you knew you were looking for. And you are literally able to crawl up essentially this tunnel that's under the bridge structure itself. And you imagine that when they built this bridge, some clever person figured out how to exploit this little area underneath it. So you cross the Middlegate Bridge and you will come out to the other side of that, which is a thing we haven't actually seen in the game as of yet. The other side, which weirdly enough looks pretty much the same, except the trees are a little bit nicer. You can go back up to the road and you get up to the upper half of the city. Luckily, you didn't run into any dangerous people under there, which is always a possibility. So you were lucky in that.
We're dangerous people. They're lucky they didn't run into us.
Exactly. I like the way you're thinking.
There it is.
That's what I've been waiting for. So you are now in the upper market. And the first thing you'll notice about the upper market is it is much more organized. These stalls are bigger. They're more permanent looking setups. It looks like many of them have been here for a very long time. They're very well established merchants. And there are spots for traveling merchants to come in, have very nice places to set up their wares. The people there, once again, it's similar to the lower half in that there's a lot of emergency shopping happening, but it's mostly servants. Servants of the very wealthy or the middle class, which they still allow in this part of the city because, you know, there's only so many rich people. But it's a similar kind of feeling you have. But you do notice that there are city watch here visible on the streets. And unlike their counterparts in the lower half, which generally, with the exception of the blue uniforms they wear, you generally wouldn't be able to tell them from the gang members. Pretty much the same guys. Some of them made different decisions in life. These guys are a lot cleaner and polished, and they smile at the people when they go by, and the people smile at them. It's very weird. It's very, very strange. You will make your way through the market, and as you'll be looking at an intersection, one that goes off towards Highgate, one that goes towards the Council District, or you can just cut through Council Heights. Kiernan, since you're leading this little affair, what's your plan?
Very bad. So, how did you know about that secret passageway?
Well, the affiliations I have make it their business to know if there's any, ways of avoiding checkpoints and stuff, so we can kind of keep an eye on them and make sure there's nothing too untoward happening.
Well, thank you.
Anytime. And forgive me if this is too forward. Do you have any thoughts about the exciting and quite unexpected return of our long-lost council member?
The Watcher, you mean?
Yes. I mean, everybody just assumed he was gone for good, and that was just a very dramatic arrival. And I have to say, I was a little surprised he went for the proposal.
Well, I don't know them very well. I'd never met them prior. And while I am intrigued, I guess I'm pleased to see that they're still around and are still keeping an eye on the city.
Oh, yes, excellent. It's a good time for it. Maybe could have mentioned the army to us, but still, better to be here than not.
Hey, Kiernan.
Yes.
Are you really happy to see them?
Well,
I'm just going to just this one time ask you, go ahead and make a deception roll.
All right. I will. I'm just not doing well today. 11.
Yeah, go ahead and give me an insight.
22.
Yeah. He seems to be not at all happy that the Watcher is back and seems to be concerned about it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that you're so happy to see the Watcher back and unconcerned about it, because some of my associates are a little concerned. I'm worried about, what the Watcher has been up to and might still be up to. But, if you're comfortable, then I see no reason that my associates or I should be concerned about it. I, for one, happy he's back. Good time to have a Watcher back, but with all the potential stuff going on.
Why would you trust my opinions?
Is there a reason I shouldn't?
Wondering why you should. I don't know you that well.
That's interesting. Well, you just seemed like an honest and forthright person, but perhaps I'm mistaken. Well, Kiernan, you are full of surprises. I am so glad fortune brought us together today. So, where are we going? Are we going to the council district? I assume we're close to it.
Yeah, so as you hit the upper Malshar thoroughfare, you have a choice of directions to go. How are you doing this? How are you going?
I think through Council Heights.
Okay, so you're right now cutting through Council Heights. Are you going in the direction of the Council District?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will be more vague about it because I will have no idea, actually, that she's going to the Council District because
Right.
Why would she go there? So I'll just be like, are we going? And I'll just be like, and then realize I have no idea where, and just trail off and just go, the homes here are really quite lovely.
They are. Maybe you should explore them further.
I live here. That's not necessary. I don't live here. I live in this city and have for a while. So, yes. See, look, we're getting to know each other so much. Where are you from, Kiernan?
Originally?
Yeah.
Well, I was raised in Talia Fir, actually.
Ah, Talia Fir. People here would consider that exotic, but I don't imagine you would since you're from there.
Rustic, I would call it, perhaps.
Huh. Well, rustic would be different. The city has to be a bit of a change from that.
It is. I'm not used to it. I'm rather uncomfortable a lot of the time.
Huh. Yeah, well, you don't show it. You're doing a wonderful job of masking it.
Am I? Well, thank you.
Well, just take the compliment for what it is.
I'm not good at that. Perhaps you want to get a drink somewhere, since there is impending doom and all.
Oh, well, you know, it's a little early in the day for me. I mean, I know some people like to imbibe, but I keep that for social occasions and reveltries and an evening when the dreams come and you need to get some sleep. You know, like anyone else. So, is there some business in the area you're looking to? I don't want to intrude. If you're visiting a friend, of course, I can...
You're going ever closer to the edge of the council district. Are you heading towards the gate area, or are you...
I'm going to veer off toward the university district.
Good, smart people. I do love smart people. What a lovely time. It's quite pretty here. They really, a lot of people would say you could build a lot of houses for people who live in tiny hovels in this land. But I think keeping this wide open for the use of the university district is correct, don't you? Yes. Must be nicer here, right? Things aren't all collapsing in on you. So you might feel a little bit closer to home here. The council district is nice too. It's wide open spaces.
Oh my god, this is embarrassing. Can I give you any powers to make people do things? I can't remember what you can do.
And I will think this real hard. It's like, look, if you want to do it your way, you do it your way. But if you're going to have me do stuff, then we're doing it my way. Which is, we're going to make friends.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Well, I think Kiernan's taken quite a shine to me.
Are you having these conversations in open out loud in front of him?
No. It's clear something's going on, because I'm kind of talking, but I like think real hard and kind of look up to the right, like I'm addressing someone in the back of my skull.
Hey, I'm gonna have you go ahead and give me an insight roll, Kiernan.
Oh, good. I mean, I'm not totally. Oh no, there's no way.
Okay. He's acting squirrely, but you're not really sure what's going on. You know, he's a weird dude.
I've never seen anything like this before. Look, I appreciate all the assistance you've given me and the fine company and conversation, but I'm actually going to see a lover, so I've got to go now.
Okay, we're going to have to do this again.
Okay, good luck with that.
Bye.
Are you letting him go to see his lover?
No, absolutely not. Or I'm going to look like I am.
I'm not even going to make you roll. This is some bullshit. I don't. Yeah.
And no one believed that story.
No. I think Kiernan has got quite a few paramours. All right. Well, at this point, I will then just shadow Kiernan, because Kiernan doesn't want my help and does not want to be friends. And the evil voice in my head is right, and I should just like bleed him and leave him in an alley somewhere. Seems wrong, so I'm not going to do it.
Kiernan, so Dorathius just kind of goes off. At this point, Dorathius, I would like you to give me a stealth roll.
Certainly.
And Kiernan, I would like you to give me a perception.
You know I'm 18. Not going to make it. 7.
Good God.
Worst roller.
I'm just hoping if anything really bad happens, that's when your luck turns around.
The good news is if someone tries to kill us, I will not be able to do anything. So it'll be fine.
So you see Dorathius go off and out of sight, and then eventually...
Take a big sigh, pat Cub on the head. Finally.
So now what are you doing?
All right, now I will wait until he is completely out of sight, and I'm going to head back to the gate here for the council district.
Okay, alrighty. So you head up to the gate. You see four of those very fancy looking, incredibly well armed council guards out in front of the gate. And as you approach, assuming you're approaching.
I am.
All right.
Try this the honest way.
Excuse me, sir. What is your business here?
Good day, sir. I am here to see the Watcher. Might they be in?
Well, the Watcher hasn't been seen for what? A week? Oh, what? And one of them just kind of whispers in the other one's ear. Oh, apparently. Huh. Well, that's a surprise. Since when? Yesterday? Oh. Wait. So you're here to see the Watcher?
Correct. I knew they were back in town, by the way.
I mean, this could be one of his, you know. I don't think their spies come to the gate and ask for them. I don't know. I mean, they haven't been here in a while. So you have a invitation of some sort?
I think if you tell them it's me, they'll allow me entrance.
And who are you?
My name is Kiernan Locke.
Give me a persuasion.
Do my best here. Come on. 18! It's a good
okay.
roll.
Okay. That was a good roll. Okay. Drathius, how far are you shadowing him from?
I don't know a lot about dogs
or
wolves, honestly. But I figure I need to stay far enough away so that the dog isn't freaked out by me. So I'm probably out of earshot.
Okay.
As much as I'd like to be in earshot, I don't think that's a possibility.
That's precisely why I was asking. So you will see this exchange going on. But, you know, he's talking to these guards and they go back and forth. And then one of the guards just kind of shakes his head and then goes off and goes into the gate and apparently off into the council district. So, well, if the Watcher is waiting for you, I guess we'll find out.
Thank you.
Seems to be the time of miracles. So you wait there for a few minutes, probably, you know, close to like 5 to 10 minutes, and the guards go back to their just standing there looking and posing, occasionally kind of giving you a side eye and linking their luck that says, like, I mean, he's a spy. He's really not a very good one. He just comes up to the gate. Figure they'd have some kind of secret entrance or something. And then eventually the guard returns and you can enter.
Thank you.
Drathius, you see this guard come back and open the gate. And it looks like he's letting Kiernan in.
Ah, crap. I was kind of hoping to rescue the day again. All right, fine. Well, I'll let Kiernan enter, let them close the gate, and then I will hustle up, and I will brandish what I presume is a forged pass to see the workmaster. That was a real pass, and the date just keeps getting changed on
yes.
it. And...
Yes, I think that is definitely a thing that you would have for sure. So I am going to put you on a new map.
Ooh.
And this is the detailed map that I just made of the council district. So Kiernan, the guard you're with, will take you up this thoroughfare with trees on either side and will lead you up through the building that counters the council chamber with its big anti-magic rotunda that you found there. You will see, you will close now notice that the lawkeeper's place looks kind of like a prison-like fortress. The defender has a different kind of fortress there. The temple master has a big temple, a lot of statues. Lawkeeper has this huge library building with towers. Trade master has this very fancy appointed mansion. That was kind of a more rusticky mansion for the harvest master. The harbor master's is also really nice. The works master has this really dark, dank, kind of looking, crappy looking, a slightly rundown mansion.
Some brutalist architecture going on, you know.
And the Watcher has what can only be described as the Dark Tower, a very imposing, strange, black. The architects for this place were really, really making a statement with all of these buildings.
Yeah.
And the office of the Watcher is scary, kind of. It is a rectangular fortress with these arching, spiky crenellations, and surrounded by these tall pines that almost block out some of its features. And there's a massive tower that, from its height, you can probably see pretty much everything. So, Drathius, you flash your works master pass to these guards. And other times you've had to do this, they just kind of shake their heads and go, yeah, okay, go on in. So as you go in, the guards are not accompanying you, because frankly, somebody going to see the Watcher who has just returned from being missing for a month is a lot more interesting than someone going to see the shit shoveler. And you will have no problem seeing this guard escort Kiernan to the Watcher's building. So, Kiernan, as you approach this edifice. The guard will go up to the front gate of the building and a signal to another guard who will open the door and let you go in. And Dorathius, what's your plan?
I guess at this point, I'm kind of stuck because I don't think I can get in there. I'll hang around. At this point, I'm a little more concerned about Kiernan than I was before. Not concerned for Kiernan's safety, concerned for mine. So I will kind of hang outside the Watcher's place. Maybe yeah. I'll hang out in the Lorekeeper's trees and okay. try to stay hidden. Like, I don't want to, like, try to hide on the grounds of the Watcher's spot. And I will bide some time here and right. let Kiernan have his scary discussion with his friend in private, because that's what friends do.
Okay, and Dorathius, you can give me a perception roll.
Let's see, here it's starting to turn, 14.
Okay, as you're looking around at the Watcher, you think you see a figure standing in the tower for a second, and then they disappear.
Okay.
Kiernan, the guard, lets you into this dark fortress. It's very starkly decorated. It's this similar kind of dark black stone that this building seems to be made of, very imposing. And when you get in, it's just a big foyer and there's nobody there. And the guard just goes, I suppose they'll come down. I've never been in this building.
All right, thank you.
Are you good here?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, and the guard hastily leaves. Scott, you see that guard from the front briskly leave the building. He's not going to like break into a run or anything, but he is really seems to be trying to break the land speed record for walking back to his post.
Okay, I'll note him, like his features, and so I can pick him out again so I can go interrogate him later, but I'll let him go now. I don't need to draw any attention to myself.
Kiernan, after a minute or so, you're standing in this big, empty, black foyer, and then from the other side of the foyer, a door that you're pretty sure you didn't notice when you came in opens. Mm-hmm. And a figure comes out, and you see, much like before, this medium height drow, kind of hard to place where they fall on the traditional gender spectrum, and they approach you.
I'll give a little sardonic bow, Watcher.
Mr. Locke, it's a pleasure to meet you.
I think we've met before, haven't we?
Your friend is clumsily hiding in some trees out by the Lorekeeper's library. Why don't you wave him in?
You can't be serious.
Have you ever known me to joke?
I haven't known you that long, but no.
I think there's something he needs to know.
Fine. If you insist, I will go out the door. I will try to spot the tree that he's in.
Okay. You see Kiernan come out of the door and just kind of look around in your direction.
I'll step out a little bit.
And I'll just give him a little, like, come hither. With my finger.
All right. I'll beam along and just walk up. Everything's going great. I'm pretty sure they're going to kill me, so I'm ready for it. Here we go.
Your presence has been requested.
Oh, good. I always like to have my presence requested.
Not by me, but someone else.
All right. Well, you know, probably could have left that out. Felt good about myself for a little while, but that's fine. I'll walk in.
As you cross the threshold of this building...
This is unpleasant. I don't like this place. It's very unpleasant. I'm going away.
And it gets quiet, and you don't hear it.
I'm going to live here. Can I still do stuff? Am I cut off? Or
you are like not cut off. As far as you can tell, your abilities...
Like, I don't start whipping out anything, but I just want
to... Yeah,
like,
I just start Eldritch blasting the room.
Yeah, just to see.
But if you do use a power, tell me what kind of power it is, and we'll see.
All right, cool.
Dorathius.
The Watcher.
Illyria Elvaris.
Master Illyria, a pleasure. My wish of good fortune to you in our city on your fortuitous return.
Dorathius Talion, known as the Inscrutable, known also as the Servant of Two Masters.
Well, at the moment, sure. Always room for more.
You see, I know a lot of things.
That's good. You're supposed to, I think. That's your brief, as it were.
Would you like to know a little something, Mr. Locke?
I like a gamble now and again, so let's throw the dice and say yes.
And I would like to know a lot of things.
Mr. Talion's friends in the Shadow Consortium have perpetrated a great crime to the city. You see, about 3 weeks ago, Illyria Alvarez, the Watcher, was waylaid outside of the city. They were taken into a dark, dark place, and one by one, all their secrets were stripped from them. There is a place in the city, deep underground, near the water, where the sacrifices are made to the shadow. And this horrible place, Illyria Alvarez was flayed, and their mind laid bare to the masters. And then you watch as Illyria Alvarez slowly changes. They become a tall, thin, very, very pale woman in this leather, almost tactical armor, bristling with knives and some interesting looking tools.
In fairness, A, they're not my friends. B, they're not the people I directly work for. And C, my master told them specifically not to do that. Well, not to kill the Watcher. So I'm sure if it was brought up, like, well, can we sacrifice the Watcher to this dark shadow? That would have also been forbidden. So that's all very helpful information, and I thank you for that. Can I be of service in any way? I'll sketch a little bow.
And Tahar points at you, Kiernan. I want you to tell me what to do. What do you want me to do, Kiernan Valen?
Who exactly did this to Illyria?
Is that to me?
The Shadow Consortium did this to them.
Specifically two members. But please, you tell it.
You know what would be better coming from you?
All right. Cray and Vax. Most notably known as Cray and Vax. I believe you glimpsed them briefly as the cloak figures when you have any negotiations with the Shadow Consortium. They probably were at some point with Lady Anna, who you know. There's a... And I'll look at the erstwhile Watcher and just make a quick judgment that, well, the erstwhile Watcher knows all this anyway and would tell Kiernan, so there's no reason for me to dissemble. And I was like, there is a triumvirate who controls the Shadow Consortium. And if you ever have any dealings of a business or political or power-based nature of three people, you will realize that sometimes a pyramid is very stable and sometimes it is not so. It appears that Cray and Vax might be overstepping themselves a little bit or wishing to change it into a case of two masters instead of three. But I'm not in those meetings, so I can't tell you exactly what they're doing. But Lady Anna is a little bit more politic and would have liked to see the Watcher just maybe absent for the vote. So luckily you came and voted for us, which was very nice of you. And I don't want to think for any second we didn't notice, and that's lovely. I'm sure some kind of present is on its way. Look around the very lovely antechamber we're in. So those two, probably not directly related in the taking of our dear departed Watcher, but definitely involved in the, how did you say, sacrificing?
Flaying, I believe was the word used, flaying.
Yes. Sacrificing a little bit nicer word to flaying, but...
I don't know a lot about the beings that inhabit the plane of shadow, but it does seem that your little organization owes them a certain amount of fealty, and this is perhaps how they pay it from time to time. It's not, from what I've been able to glean, it's not something that many of your organization truly know about, and those who do have varying degrees of acceptance. I do believe that Cray and Vax love their sister. I do believe that everything they have been doing, they believe is in her best interest. They do not trust the Council of Elders, and they do not trust this legitimization, but they're acting in what they believe is her self-interest, which is really becoming quite the little farce. You see, in just a few days, I've been able to figure a lot of things out. You have to know who the right people are to talk to and follow and become and report back to. I need to know, Dorathius the Inscrutable, how did Lady Anna learn my name?
I believe she only told me that she learned the name. If I am to guess, a member of her entourage has some ability to read surface thoughts. And so I assume one of her agents was able to pull that thought from someone's mind. Who knew your name? I can't say.
Well, that's all I really need to know. And then she looks over at Kiernan. From what I understand, Cray had another operation that ran afoul outside of town. He quite wisely decided that he would attempt to throw a wrench into the works of the Claudian invasion, and sent one of his servants with a tool that he believed would kill the commanders of the Claudian Legion. You see, as Dorathius is, I'm sure, quite aware, they really, really believe in this whole chain of command thing. And if you cut the head off of their army, you really take the wind out of their sails, as it were. And he dispatched some kind of magical toy that poisoned or something the command structure of this legion. But it seems that in killing the commanders, he weakened and strengthened this army in a way. The lady only knows what is existing in that camp now, but whatever it is, it shan't be too long before they reach your walls. I came into the city with certain expectations, but I have to say, whatever this is, Kiernan, I'm beginning to truly believe you do not know what it is or why it's happening.
You're correct, I don't.
But I am starting to believe that your being here is no accident.
Why are you here, Tahar?
You know I am here.
Maybe. I mean, you told me, but were you telling me the truth?
I serve the lady, and the lady sent me here. You see, I am one of the sisters, the sacred sisters, the seventh line of Lorien. And in that, from time to time, I am able to communicate directly with the lady. I have, as of yet, to receive a message back, but I report to her dutifully. And the last time I sent a message, I eventually got a reply.
Did?
Let him decide. She wants to see what you are going to do, Kiernan. She wants to see how you let this play out. Will you let the city be swallowed by darkness? Will you rise up as a hero to save it? Or will you simply slink back into the woods and hide, as you have consistently done since your cowardly desertion of the Dan Sabah?
That's your perception.
She very quickly pulls out one of her knives. Why don't you show him what you are? Show him. He's a very smart boy. He deserves a prize for all of his dutiful work.
Why should I?
And she hurls a knife at Dorathius. It lands at your feet very, very quickly.
Well, that was quick. I'll do some math of, like, is this a situation where I should retrieve the knife and return it to them? And I'll just decide to just leave it there.
Do it or I'll kill this man, and then I'll kill you.
Fine. I will change.
Describe to Dorathius what he sees.
So I look a little similar just in nature. I have very pale skin, not unlike Tahar, purplish silver eyes, very wavy hair. My hair is a little crazier. It almost seems to undulate, even though there's not really a breeze in here. And I'm willowy thin. Are you happy now, Tahar?
The mother is happy.
Of course.
I want you to tell me what to do. Do I reveal my secrets about the Shadow Consortium to the wide world here? Do I send them back down into the shadow again? Do I stay here as dutifully as the Watcher and continue to be, frankly, probably much better at this job than my predecessor, at least long enough for the city to be saved? Or do we all just leave? Or whatever. I mean, I could dance a jig, I could set myself on fire, whatever you want. The lady has me at your disposal.
That's surprising. Well, you were sent here for a reason, were you not? To infiltrate the city? If the city is gone, what will your purpose be?
Well, I was sent here specifically by your mother to find out if you had been working for your previous master as some kind of advanced scout for a rebel changeling invasion or something. Your mother truly believes the worst in people. She believes that Lord Christay is leading some kind of male revolt. I believe if that's why you were here, you would have made contact with somebody interesting.
Come on. I'm right here.
Present company accepted, of course.
That is not why I'm here.
Yes.
You discovered that by now.
So, do we save the city or do we let it die? Does truth out? Are the bad people exposed for the horrible wretches they are? I mean, surely the Shadow Consortium is an evil organization. They serve dire masters and sacrifice, well, I'm not going to say innocent people, because Lord knows Lavaris was pretty despicable. So what shall it be? What is your decision?
Well, I think if exposed, we'd all be discovered as despicable, wouldn't we?
It is quite possible, yes. I mean, perhaps if you could tell the Council of Malshar that changelings are real and they have been sent out into this world to be the eyes and ears of the great hag Lorianne and do her bidding, perhaps they can get revenge on her for whatever it is you believe she does.
No, that's not the point here. I never wanted revenge. You're going to stay in the city with me. We're going to do our best to protect it and the people here.
You're going to stay in the city? You're going to abandon your friends?
Are they leaving? Razor and Zika?
Well, they can't stay here. I mean, they could. I mean, they can do whatever they want, but they won't. If the city survives, then there's the mystery of how this happened. Where do those tunnels go? How did this all come to be? Ordrum is the servant of the Forge, and they are warriors that fight against the coming apocalypse. I don't have any special insight as to what's really going on, and the mother hasn't seen fit to share that with me. Perhaps she's part of it, but I doubt it. But the crux of it is, at the very least, you want me to remain in this position.
I think I do, yes. Although, of course, if you're going to be destroyed, I don't hope for that.
Of course not. I will stay here if you wish and help save the city.
And I will fight alongside my friends if that is what they choose to do, or leave if they choose to leave. Right. I'm making decisions not solely based on my own needs anymore.
I will stay here as long as I must, then. And I will serve the city of Malshar, for it is your will and, by extension, Mother's will. You, of course, finally looks over at you, Dorathias. You, of course, can tell your lady about the truth of this. I cannot guarantee she will survive knowing it.
Yes, but I believe she needs to know it. We'll see how that goes. I have a long walk home.
I guess you'll decide which version of the truth you'll tell her, and then we'll see what happens. I have inherited many eyes in the city.
No doubt. And seemingly you're putting them to better use. So that's exciting. That's probably best for the city and more inconvenient for me, but everything's inconvenient for me these days. So what's a little more?
Well, I suppose you want me to let this dandy fool live?
I suppose.
Very well. I will return to my work then, and you will go back to your friends and see how this all plays out.
We'll talk again.
Yes, I'm sure we will. And then she becomes Illyria Elvaris again.
I will also alter myself again.
I will sketch a bow to the Watcher. Watcher, thank you. And yes. I'll go to pick up the dagger and then decide maybe I shouldn't touch it because maybe there's something funky about the dagger, and I'll just bow again. And
as you look down at the dagger and just about to touch it, you will see that there is a little bit of a damp sheen.
Leave that for the servants. Your Grace, thank you.
Yes, I believe you know the way out. And they turn around and go back out that door that disappears into the wall.
Well, it seems you know me a lot better now, hmm?
Oh, yes. We're fast friends. Why is it that everything I get involved in has some kind of secret, horrible master that demands sacrifice under it? I was just on a trading voyage.
That's the way of things, unfortunately.
You head out into the council district, and a fast friendship has been forged in the in the fires of whatever the fuck that just was.
I will hail a coach at the first coach hailing possibility, and it will take the long way around to home because I want the time of the walk, but I don't actually have to walk. And I will turn to Kirin and say, Kirin, can we drop you somewhere?
Yes, I suppose I'll just go back to the bar.
All right. Something I would never normally tell the coachman, but I will tell them, please don't run anyone over. We need to drop Goodman Kirin in Captain here or near about there, as close as they can get, you know. But I'll specifically say we're not in so much of a hurry. They should not run anyone down.
Thank you.
It sounds weird coming out of my mouth. Like, I don't know how to express it to them, but eventually I convey that to them. And I'll turn to Kirin.
It's all right, my lord. the crowd in the lower market seems to be less dense as usual. We should have no problem.
Very good.
Then you are off. And as you pass by the university district, you hear the voice in your head say,
"Huh, that's weird. Don't go into the university district. Like, ever."
And that's what we'll call it to a close. Thank you again, Scott, for joining us again and portraying who is surely a fan favorite, Dorathias the Inscrutable.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, I'm glad I could bring some real star power to this. Thanks. Anytime. Yeah, Dorathias, the person who tries to do the roundabout way of achieving his goals, whereas everyone else is just like, no, no, just kill him and leave him in the alley. I'm like, look, no, I'm doing a thing here.
A whole lot of things were learned by a whole lot of people, and I had a great time. This might be my favorite episode so far.
It was a lot of fun.
Thank you all once again for listening. Please like and subscribe and do all the things, and keep an eye on our social media stuff for future interesting things that may or may not be in the works. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
You can follow Architects of Entropy on Facebook. You can also email us at entropypod@gmail.com. That's entropypod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.